Several years ago, in the church that I used to lead, we had the idea one week of doing an open-air service in the churchyard. And it seemed like a brilliant idea at the time. Actually, it wasn't a bad idea at all. We were able to do a kind of all-age service and be quite creative with what the children did and so on. And it won't surprise you that what I particularly enjoyed was a barbecue afterwards as part of it. But one of my big recollections of it was the headache of how are we going to get all our sound equipment to work outside? How are we going to make sure that all the musicians, we had quite a good sized band, how are we going to make sure that they could all be heard? And so well in advance, I spent some time measuring to make sure that we would have the long enough cables and that the speakers could go where they needed to go and so on. And then on the Thursday before this Sunday, we had a kind of technical rehearsal where we set everything up and checked it was all working, and it was. And then on the day, we a team of us turned up bright and early to get everything set up in plenty of time. We had everything in the right place. Everything was looking positive until the band started to kind of practice and warm up, and there was this resounding silence. There wasn't anything coming. What was going wrong? Why wasn't it working? Well, it didn't take long to get to the heart of it. What had happened is that as we had carried the equipment in and out, lots of us had been traipsing in and out of church, we had, of course, trodden a whole load of grass clippings in. And some very well-meaning, very helpful person thought, I know, I'll get the Hoover out and clean them up. And in order to fire up the Hoover, they needed a spare socket and had unplugged the whole lot. And it was very easily put right. And it's not a very interesting story. You've all got stories of why isn't this thing working? Has it broken? Oh no, it's just not plugged in and it's easily fixed. But the reason I tell that not very interesting story is simply to offer. I offer that as a picture of how we can sometimes go about our Christian lives. It's very easy, isn't it? In all the busyness, with all the different things going on, it's very easy to allow ourselves to become unplugged, if you like, from Jesus. And what today's passage does for us is remind us that if we are to achieve anything of any real value, or if we're to get out of life the things that we hope to get out of life, then we, being consciously and deliberately plugged into Christ is essential. Now, God willing, we're going to be spending these mornings in August looking at this passage. In fact, we'll be spending 4 weeks in John chapter 15. So if next week you hear the reading and you think, oh, that sounds a little bit familiar, maybe they got the wrong week's service. No, they're absolutely right. We're going to come back to this and see it in different ways. But before we jump into it, let me tell you why. Why are we going to be spending this time in this one passage? Well, it's really because of my hopes for the year that lies ahead of us. There are two big things that I really hope for this coming year. One is that it might be a fruitful year. Okay, I hope and pray that we would see our efforts for the gospel having results. That we would see results in our own personal efforts for holiness and growth, but also that we would see fruit as we look to share the good news of Jesus in our community and beyond, that we might see people coming to put their trust in Jesus, that we'd see people becoming Christians. So my hope for this coming year is that it will be a fruitful year. And my other big hope for this year is that we might all, as a church and as individuals, have a fresh sense of joy in Jesus. This last year has been hard, hasn't it? The pandemic has been incredibly hard. A vacancy is always hard. And I know that in this room there will be a number of different people who have had their own personal hardships, their own personal reasons for finding this last year so difficult. And so I hope that as we come into this next season, we can do so just loving being God's people, loving being his church, loving being his children, that all of that would bring us real delights, that we'd be able to say with Paul that there is no greater thing than knowing Jesus, that any other thing that we might value just pales into insignificance by comparison. So my hope is that our walk with Jesus this year will be a delight. So those are my two hopes for the year, fruitfulness and joy in Jesus. And did you notice that as Nicola read, this passage shows us where those two things are found. So if you've got it open, have a look down at verse 5. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So where is fruitfulness found? In our relationship with Jesus. And then glance down a bit further to verse 11, where Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So again, where is real joy found? In what Jesus had just been talking about, namely our relationship with him. So I'm hoping for fruit and joy, and that's why we're spending time here in John 15. And let me outline quickly how we're going to use these 4 weeks. This morning, I'm going to be doing kind of an overview of the whole passage and introducing some of the key ideas and some of the key characters within it. Next week, we're going to focus in on some of the promises that Jesus makes to those who remain in him. Then, the week after that, we're going to go into more detail of what Jesus actually means when he talks about us remaining in him. How do we do it? How do we abide in the vine, to use a different translation? And that week will probably be the most practical of these weeks. And if you're struggling with your own times of God in prayer and in his word, if you're struggling with your personal quiet times, I hope and pray that week will be especially helpful for you. But then we're going to finish the week after that by looking at the great command towards the end of the passage about loving one another and how that relates to everything that we will have seen by then about remaining in the vine. So that's where we're going, God willing, this month. But let's start now by seeing two of the main characters in this passage, the vine and the branches. Jesus describes himself as a vine, and his followers, you and me, as branches. Now, grapevines are not as familiar a part of our countryside as they would have been to Jesus' first hearers. Although if you can wangle an invitation to the Trithewey's house, you'll be able to go and inspect a very impressive one. But what you need to do is to picture a plant that has a strong main stem or trunk with lots of branches coming off it. And Jesus says he is that main trunk and we are the branches that grow out from him. And that should convey two things to us. The first is an enormous sense of privilege, because this is an incredibly strong picture of intimacy with Christ, isn't it? When we become a Christian, we're not just invited to come and stand a bit nearer Jesus, as though he was some celebrity that we'd like to get a selfie with. We're not given a backstage pass to go and meet him. Have any of you met the Queen? A few years ago, the Queen came to Nottingham. I'm sure it was right at the top of her bucket list of the part of her realm she had most wanted to visit for years. But when she came, of course, there were crowds lining the roads, just waiting to see this big car drive past with a lady waving. People wanted to see her, wanted to be near her. But actually, what we're given here is something far closer than that. We're not just given a chance to glimpse someone important passing by, but we are invited to become as closely connected to the creator of the universe as branches are to a vine. Or in Paul's language in 1 Corinthians 12, as closely connected as our bodies hopefully are united with our heads. So that should always do something in our hearts, shouldn't it? When we're reminded of this, the creator of the universe has graciously chosen to bring us into that close a relationship with him. What a privilege. But the other thing this should do for us is to make us really aware of how utterly dependent on Jesus we actually are. You see, I think we sometimes think of ourselves not so much as like being branches of a vine, but being a bit more like ivy growing up a tree. You see, ivy is a plant in its own right, isn't it? It's got its own roots in the soil. Ivy can exist independently, but it uses a tree for support. It isn't part of the tree, and if the tree died, the ivy could still grow. Isn't that how we're sometimes tempted to view our lives? We live as though our lives are our own. We're grateful to Jesus that he is a good support for us to grow those lives on. And we appreciate the shape or the structure that he might give us. But ultimately, we live as though our lives depend on ourselves. We decide what our lives are for. We provide what we need for those lives to flourish. We're grateful for Jesus' presence, but actually much of the time, we live our lives as though we're independent of him. But what Jesus is saying here is we're not ivy growing on a tree, but we are part of the tree. We're part of the vine, and therefore we cannot live independently from it. Have a look at the end of verse 5. Apart from me, that is separated from me, you can do nothing. Our lives can't just be lived near Jesus or even built on Jesus. They must be connected to him. They must be part of him, or else we can't even live, let alone produce fruit. So let me ask you, how would you describe your relationship with Jesus today? Are you a branch of the vine, or are you ivy growing up the vine? The invitation of Jesus here is to be joined to him and so produce his fruit and know his joy. And the really ridiculous thing is that so often it's our desire to produce fruit and to make something of our lives, and it's our desire to enjoy our lives, it's our desire for those things that actually stop us doing the very thing that makes those things possible. So what makes those things possible is our remaining in the vine. And as we'll see in 2 weeks' time, Jesus says a massive part of how we remain in the vine is by spending time in his word and spending time in prayer and so on. Our daily quiet times, for want of a better phrase, they're part of how we abide. And it is that abiding that makes fruit and joy possible. But what tends to happen is that we think we're so busy producing fruit, and it's so important that we do the things that make us happy, that we don't have time for, or we don't give time for, abiding. So it's a ridiculous cycle, isn't it? Jesus says to bear fruit and have joy, we must abide. But we say we've got so much fruit that we need to get on and bear, and so much joy that we want to have, that we don't have space to abide. And we'll come back to that more the week after next. But we've looked a bit at the vine and the branches, and there's one other character that we need to see before we draw some of this to a close, and it's the vine dresser or the gardener. So come back to verse 1. Jesus is the vine, the Father is the gardener, the tree surgeon, the one tending it all. And I aim to do a spot of gardening every now and then when I've got a little bit of time. But Jesus tells us that the Father is constantly at work. He doesn't just fit it in every now and then. And you see in the passage, there are three things that the Father is doing. Firstly, he is removing and burning dead branches. So verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And then down at verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If a branch stops abiding in Jesus, if it becomes detached from the vine, it will wither, die, and stop bearing fruit. And the Father, like any gardener, will have a bonfire, or will reach for the wheelie bin with the green lid. To neglect our relationship with Jesus is a big and dangerous thing. So the first thing the Father is doing is clearing out the rubbish. But secondly, he is pruning healthy branches. Look at verse 2 again. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You see, pruning isn't just about removing what's dead. It is also about cutting back what's healthy so that it becomes more healthy and more fruitful. You know, a branch may grow long and wispy, and pruning it makes it strong. A branch may grow in a way that makes it rub against another branch, harming them both. Pruning stops them damaging each other. Branches may grow so thickly that the light can't get to them anymore. Pruning opens them up. And all of this is making you think that I actually know a little bit about gardening. I really don't. I just talk to my mother-in-law who does. But you don't need to be a gardener to understand the point. What the Father is doing is making the healthy branches more healthy. He's at work in us to make us more fruitful. So the Father removes dead branches, he prunes healthy ones to make them more healthy. And you see there's one other thing in the passage that the Father is doing? It's there twice, in verse 7 and verse 16. He is answering prayers. And we'll come back to that and spend a bit more time on that next week. But let's try and draw some of this together. I think what we need to see this morning is that there are two types of branches. There are those that remain in the vine and those that don't. Those that do remain in the vine receive wonderful, wonderful promises from God. And we'll look at them in more detail next week. But ultimately, those promises are about fruitfulness and joy. We are promised that if we remain in Jesus, there will be fruit and his joy will be in us. Those that don't abide in the vine get to hear not a promise, but a warning, a real warning. They will wither, they will stop bearing fruit, they will die, and they will be thrown into the fire. So here is the question. What sort of branch are you? My guess is that amongst us this morning, there will be a whole load of different kinds of branches. Some of you may not even be a branch connected to the vine yet. Some of you may not even know the vine. Some of you would not call yourselves a Christian. And if that's you, let me say, I'm so glad you're here and you are most welcome. And we would love to chat to you more and help you understand more of what it is to be part of the vine and how you become part of the vine. And wonderfully, we have our welcome desk down here at the bottom front right of church. And if you're someone who goes, I don't know what this is about, but I'd love to talk to someone, make your way over there and we would love to chat to you more. So some of you may not even know the vine yet. Some of you may know that you are part of the vine, but those things that help us remain in it, things like time in God's word, things like prayer, they don't have the place in your life that you would like them to do. And so many of us have found those things really hard to sustain during the pandemic. If you're struggling, you're in very, very good company. But if that is you, come back next week and hear more of the amazing promises that God has for you. Hear more of how he can work through you, whoever you are, to produce wonderful fruit. And hear more of how he wants you to find your joy complete in him. And then come back the week after that when what we look at then might really help you get going. And some of you are already enjoying remaining in Jesus, enjoying the fruit and enjoying the joy. And if that's you, keep going and look forward to the promises that we'll be spending time in next week. Let me pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we recognize how easy it is to become unplugged. And it's not that we consciously unplug ourselves. It's that we simply forget to keep checking that we are plugged in. And Father, we pray that in these weeks in August, as we spend time in this passage, that you would be helping us to see again what it means to remain in Jesus. How we do that, and how we receive all that you would have for us through it. Father, we pray that we might be a church of people who are truly remaining in the vine, who are daily plugging ourselves in, who are daily spending time in prayer, daily spending time in your word, daily spending time obeying Jesus' command that we love one another, and that as we do so, we see a fruit like we've not seen before. We see growth in our own lives and we see growth in our church. And may we also come to know Jesus' joy within us. And Lord, after all the burden and heartache that this last year has shown us all, after all the pain and sometimes grief that we carry, Father, we pray that we might find a fresh joy through our relationship with Christ. And we ask this, that you would be glorified in our lives. Amen.